from Montreal. F1 is in town, and Colin Livingston is there. He joins us now. Colin, is this your first F1 race live?
You betcha. Yeah, never. The closest I've ever come to watching these cars was when they had the old Minardi two-seater Formula One car that they gave two-seater rides during the Edmonton Indy going back to 2007. So this podunk kid from Stony Plain, Alberta, is pretty excited this weekend.
Oh, I would think so. Now, what's interesting about F1, it's only going to be, the question's going to be which car for Mercedes finishes first or second, because they pretty much won every race. I think Bottas did finish third one time, but other than that, they've been 1-2 all the time. Does that make it a little anticlimactic?
This is racing, and nothing is guaranteed until the checkered flag falls. You never know what can happen. There could be an issue in qualifying. There could be something that happens in the race. Mercedes on two occasions have taken each other out where they both didn't finish. And that's the whole reason why we race, is to see how the thing turns out. I mean, obviously the early indicator, based on a number of 1-2 finishes and the worst finish of third, is that Mercedes is definitely the team to beat this weekend. But with Montreal's long straightaways and a real big demand for speed, you definitely can't count Ferrari out.
With the way it's built, the way the course is run, and how it's so difficult to pass, does that make the qualifying even that much more important than normal?
I mean, it is. Every track is pretty difficult to pass on. There are a couple of opportunities on the Circuit Gilles Villeneuve that teams can pass, but everything's important. I mean, you almost can't have a bad session and expect to win. It's not like some forms of racing where you can qualify at the back, but you've got 500 laps to get up to the front or 500 miles. You kind of have to be on it right from the get-go if you're going to have a shot.
Colin Livingston joins us in the Cantorque Racing Report. Now, Ferrari chairman came out with a statement saying we're not very competitive enough right now, and for the time being, we haven't got any more changes coming on the car that will have a significant effect on the problems we've encountered since the start of the season. So, well, it's an honest quote, but it basically says, well, we have no chance of improving this year, Colin. What mistakes have they made? Why have they gotten this so wrong this year?
This is a recurring topic for us that, Ferrari seems to be their biggest enemy when it comes to their on-track performance. Made a colossal mistake 2 weeks ago in Monaco by not sending Charles Leclerc back out when it looked like the track was getting faster. Sebastian Vettel had, a big mental mistake in Bahrain. Why they're actually making an announcement to say that they're not going to be getting any better really boggles the mind. I mean, that's the kind of discussion you have in the team room. That's the kind of discussion you have behind closed doors. I don't know why you would take the time to issue a press release for something like that. I guess if I were in the same position, I would be optimistic to say you never know what's going to happen on a race weekend. We're trying everything. We're going to give it our all, and this is a track we've had success at, and let's just see how the cards fall. But there's probably a reason why he's the chairman at Ferrari, and I'm standing here waiting for a suitcase.
We've got Colin Livingston on the show from Cantorque talking the racing report. NASCAR Pinty Series at Jacuzza this past weekend, and that place got rave reviews as a facility. What does everyone like so much about, and why did it go so well?
There's not a lot not to like about the racetrack. It's in a great location. It was built with a lot of thought on how to access the track, how to get equipment in and out. There's a great fan experience that every seat, and I mean, I walked through the grandstands when we had a lot of downtime. There's not a bad seat in the place. The racing surface is awesome, so the product on track is also great. Our buddy Alex Nagy and his staff out there have done such a great job since reopening the old Cayuga Speedway that, yeah, getting to see it firsthand last weekend was really impressive.
Colin Livingston joins us in the Cantorque Racing Report. Andrew Ranger took his first win of the season for him. Now, it's been pretty competitive this year. I know it's very early on, Colin, but you know, you've seen multiple winners already. Just illustrates the competitiveness on that series.
Yeah, I mean, any given weekend, you're going to have, you know, at the Oval, we took a look at the entry list. And realistically, out of whatever it was, 16 or 17 cars, there were a legit 14 cars that could have won that race. The weekend or 2 weeks before Canadian Tire Motorsports Park, it's a little bit more competitive when it, or less competitive when it comes to the road courses, where there's typically only, you know, five or six guys that are legitimate contenders. But the race definitely didn't disappoint. And now Ranger, you know, definitely top of the standings with a win in the second place. So it really seems like the guys at DJK Racing, you know, they've really performed well now that we've seen their cars on multi-disciplines.
Now, Colin, going back to F1, not only has Mercedes absolutely been killing it, they're going to release an upgraded engine kit for Montreal. So essentially, the rich get richer, the best get better. What is this upgraded engine kit? What does that mean?
It just means that these guys never stop their development. You know, whether it's on the bodywork, whether it's on the aerodynamics, the gearboxes, or the engines, it's always expected that throughout the year, teams are going to find certain gains. Now, they're never obviously going to tell us what those gains are, where they found them, but you know, even with the release, Mercedes made the press release talking about their upgraded engine for all of their cars and all of their customer cars. So Williams will have the update as well. But even, you know, a quote I got from one of the drivers as I was flying over here from Valtteri Bottas basically said that, you know, they're still not expecting to be able to keep up with the Ferrari in the straight line. But obviously their strength this year has been through the corners and in the braking zones.
So when they release that kit, just to be clear, do they have to tell everybody what the upgrades are, or do other people just have to figure it out and try to catch up?
They definitely don't have to announce anything. It's not a requirement in any way, shape, or form. I think it's more on the mental side of things that now, as dominant as they've been with their finishes, they're letting everybody else know now that, okay, we've been really good with our aero package. We've been really good with the balance of the car. We've been super through corners. Now we're going to start coming after you guys on the straightaways. It's easy to talk about the stuff. It becomes a little bit more difficult once you get on track. So again, you know, this is going to be the exciting part this weekend, starting tomorrow, is, you know, just how good is this new package.
So what happens? Tell us, what's your plan at F1? What goes down tomorrow?
Boy, this is going to be a really tough question to answer because I've never done it before. First of all, I'm going to take a good long time with a lot of really big eyes and take in what I'm looking at and take in, you know, the spectacle. I've never seen a race this big outside of the Indianapolis 500. So as a fan and as, you know, as someone who's been involved on many, many sides of the racing world, I want to see how F1 puts the thing on. It's going to be a little bit of adjustment to kind of walk in there. I've been to the track, you know, quite a few times. We've done Xfinity races. We've done some Pinty stuff there in the past. So I've seen how the racetrack gets set up for different series. But it's a totally different beast for this weekend. And then, you know, we'll just see where it goes. I mean, I think I've got a fairly long list of souvenirs that I've been given to bring back home, so I'll be doing a little bit of shopping as well, and then and we'll see what happens.
And lastly, I know this weekend the off-camber Carters were planning to have like an exhibition race at the Edmonton International Raceway, but last night the rain made it pretty slick. I know you guys are racing. Did that cause any extra crashes, and are the carts okay to race, or are they going to need a lot of fixing?
Well, time will tell. I'd love to be able to blame some of my mistakes last night on the rain, but unfortunately, it was a driver error on my part. We had some really crazy starts last night. That the first two heat races, we were almost racing before we got to the last corner, and then in the final, it just seemed as though everything stopped. And once we saw one of the guys go, everyone kind of jumped, and then it stopped. And bunched everything up, and you know, from there it was a little bit of chaos that we even saw one guy go upside down last night, Andrew Avery. Glad to see that he was okay by the end of the night, but hopefully we can get these carts repaired. Some of the guys were short on parts, so we're just not sure if they're going to come in time, but assuming we get everything back, it'd be great to have everyone out to Edmonton International Raceway and watch what we can do on a makeshift road course this weekend.
Well, Colin, enjoy it. We might touch base with you tomorrow when you're live at the tracks, see what's going on at F1 for qualifying and such.
Yeah, I'll keep you posted for sure. And if we got anything good to talk about, I'll make sure I get in touch.